invite you at the beginning of our lesson, you will, to turn to the 12th chapter of the Roman letter. I'm going to be taking our text from that chapter, Romans chapter 12. Sorry that Brother Michael is not able to be with us this morning, but appreciate so very much Travis filling in the Bible study, and hopefully I can be able to do a lesson here this morning. I wondered in some of the comments that Brother Travis made if he was going to preach my sermon for me tonight, this morning or not, but I think probably what he said and what I say are going to complement each other. But I'm convinced that as I have worked with other Christians and been around other Christians a lot in my life as a Christian, that Christians oftentimes are not as happy as they should be. And I think the reason for this is a failure to totally commit their lives to God. And this is sad, but I think probably most of us have been at a place in our life where we've felt this way. The feeling that we have so much of the time, and so many people that are Christians, and I've experienced this myself, they have enough gospel in them to live the way that they want to live, and yet they have enough world in them that they can't really turn loose from it to the degree which God would like for them to. And live without the pain of conscience. And when this happens, we can actually become miserable. We're not totally committed to God, and we're not totally committed to the world. And Romans chapter 12, I believe, is a wonderful chapter because it gives instruction to correct this problem if we're willing to follow the formula that is given here. And as we look at this chapter, there are many wonderful teachings. We could spend several sermons and presenting the things that are revealed unto us here in this chapter. And in our lesson this morning, when we look at this first verse of this chapter, this is what we're going to focus on primarily. This is going to be the basis for our lesson. When Paul wrote here, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now that's a verse that we can read rather quickly, but we notice the way Paul begins this when he said, "I beseech you." Paul is saying, in other words, "I'm begging you." Paul knew that there were weaknesses among members of the body of Christ. He's talked about that prior to what he's stating here. And if we follow these instructions that Paul has given here in this first verse of this chapter, this will change one's attitude towards God. And if we're honest, we know that some of us need probably an attitude adjustment. We can get caught up in what's going on in the world around us, and we can allow our minds to drift or to wander. Like I've read that old brother J.D. Tant used to say when he would become concerned, "Brethren, we're drifting. We're drifting." So when we change one's attitude towards God, it's going to make a big difference in our lives. And Travis talked about that this morning, of what it means to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's going to instruct us in dealing with our brethren. And again, we talked about that, our brethren and our fellow man, and loving our neighbor as ourself. And it's going to change even how we deal with our enemies, how we respond to those who mistreat us. This is something that is difficult for man. It's sort of against human nature. We want to strike out at an enemy. We want to fight back. We're sort of programmed that way. And of course, that's true if we're walking after the flesh. We always seem to be on the defensive. So this is what we're going to talk about for a little while this morning in our lesson. What Paul has stated here in this first verse in our discussion, first of all, he says that he wants Christians to be a living sacrifice to God. I wonder if you've ever really given much thought to that or meditate on it, of just what that means, to be a living sacrifice to God. But before he states this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." By the mercies of God. This is the motivation. This is the only thing that is going to put us in the right frame of mind to determine to become a living sacrifice. The only thing that can, or the only way that can be accomplished, is by reading what the Scriptures teach us about God and taking this into your mind, and as we stated earlier, arrive at the point where you love God with all your mind, strength, everything, all of your being, your soul, all of it. You've got to love God in this way. And to know God is to love Him. The more you know about God, the more you come to love Him. So this mercies of God is the motivation. But you notice also that he begins here in this chapter by saying, "I beseech you, I'm begging you, brethren, therefore." You ever wonder what that word is there for? Well, I heard a preacher say one time, when you see that word "therefore," you need to begin to think about what's it there for. And what it's there for is that Paul wants us to be reminded of what he has spoken in the first 11 chapters of this book. The first 11 chapters. And he's done a lot of teaching. And now he's going to bring it all together to kind of sum it all up. In view of all the things that I have taught here, I want you to remember this. And this is what we're going to see here in this verse, in this chapter. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. The mercies of God. I think probably the best way we could describe the mercies of God is to consider the riches of God's mercy. There are so many passages that I thought of that I could turn to when I began to think about this and preparing this lesson. For example, back in the Old Testament scriptures, the sweet psalmist David, Psalms 119, probably the most beautiful psalm in all the scriptures. In Psalms 119 and verse 156, David was pouring out his heart to God, and he said, great are thy tender mercies. Great are thy tender mercies. He was a man after God's own heart. And David studied God. He became so close to God that he was actually described by God as a man after his own heart. He wanted to know everything that he could possibly know about God, and he wanted to place his complete confidence and dependence upon God in everything. And that's the way that David lived his life. But nothing less is true in the New Testament scriptures. We see some of the teachings, for example, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And in verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. He is the Father of mercies. Man never would know about mercy if it had not been for God. We find in Philippians, or rather we mentioned here in Psalms 119, 156, but also over in the Colossian letter. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul states here the things that Christians are to put on when they become Christians. He also talks about the things we're to put off, and then these are the things that we're to put on. In verse 12, he said, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. In order to be the way God wants us to be, we've not only got to realize God's mercy, but these are the things that we have to put on, tender mercies. We deal with people every day in our lives. Some of them aren't pleasant. Some of them can be very frustrating. Even sometimes with family members. But mercy is so important. When we think about how deep man is going into sin, and yet God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's love. That's mercy. That's the kind of mercy that God wants us to have. This is what Paul says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And we've got to recognize God's tender mercies and order to do what Paul is going to instruct us in. Paul states here that mercies are so important. We're talking about also a wholehearted service to God. When he mentions here a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. I feel that too many view religion as a external ceremony. Everything is, you know, what can I get out of this? Am I going to have the preacher up here that's interesting to listen to and will hold my attention? And am I going to hear singing that really inspires me? And it's more of an external thing. It's what we're seeing around us and what we're focused on. And too many times we forget to look inward. We forget to think about what it's all about. We think of worship, many times even in religion, as something external. We want something that is self-pleasing, something that is going to tickle our ears or amuse us or entertain us. But consider Galatians 2:20. When we think about a spiritual sacrifice, Paul wrote here that I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live. And yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, Paul isn't alive anymore. He's crucified. Who you see now is God living in me, Christ living in me. That's a willing sacrifice when we live our lives for Jesus, because we're going to have to make some serious changes. You see, this is different than what we've been used to walking in, a different way. Under the law of Moses, we read about a lot of animal sacrifices, They were brought alive to the priest, and then they were killed, and they were burned on the altar. The blood was sometimes scattered around, sprinkled around. Under the law of Christ, have you ever thought about that this is a like figure? That when once we come to Christ, we have to die. We have to die. We die to sin. We become dead to sin. We become alive then through Jesus Christ. When does this happen? When do we make this sacrifice when we die to sin? It's in repentance. When we turn around, we turn away from sin, that we're determined no longer to follow sin in our lives. And this is when we're baptized. And then we bury this old man. And then we come forth in newness of life. This is what Paul was talking about here in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Romans chapter 6 verses 2 and 4. Buried with him in baptism, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even though so we also are raised to walk in newness of life. Down here in this Roman letter again, in this sixth chapter, notice what was stated here on down in the 11th and 12th verses. Paul stated here, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness unto God. To present our bodies as a living sacrifice. To do that means we will no longer allow sin to reign in our mortal body. Our body is intended by God to be a slave, not a master. And this is a change that's going to take place when we become a Christian, because our past life, for the most part, has been lived according to the flesh, to fulfill the desires of the flesh, some of them maybe not even necessarily wrong within themselves. But a lot of these things can be the thief of time. We can involve ourselves as Christians and get caught up in this if we're not careful. And all of these things that we have around us constantly in our everyday walks of life that aren't really wrong within themselves, but still, they can become the thief of time. They can rob us of the time that we need to be praying, that we need to be worshiping in our own way to God. We need to be reading and studying from His Word, which is food for our soul. We need to be hiding God's Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. We need to be spiritual minded. And we think about all the sinful things of the flesh. Many times we don't think about things that aren't sinful, but just because of the love of this world and the things that we want to involve ourselves in this life, whether it's in recreation or whatever it may be, we need to be careful, brethren. Remember, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Seek ye first. That's the priority. If we're going to let sin reign in our lives, if we're walking according to the flesh. But too many times we have problems making the distinction. You know, how far can we do this? How far can we go with it? Anything that becomes between us and God, it's actually closer to God than we are. It's between us. It can separate us from God. We look over in First Corinthians chapter 6. Paul wrote here in verses 19 and 20, "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." This body that you live in, you need to keep this constantly in your mind, that this body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He knows what you think. He knows what you do in secret. He knows what you are interested in. He knows where your focus is. He knows the way you're acting. He knows the influence that you have on others and the way you're using that influence. If we would focus on that every day of our lives as we go through the day, it might make a difference the way we live. It might not. Maybe you're already living this way. You're putting God first in everything in your life. He comes first. If you have time, you're very busy, and you have time to read just a little bit in the day, do you pick up the newspaper or do you pick up the Bible? If we're too busy to serve God, then we're too busy. We need to maybe make some cuts in our lives, that would change some things, that would give us some more time, that perhaps preserve a little more energy for God. We might see more here on Wednesday evening. We might see more here on Sunday afternoon, even on Sunday morning. If we were determined to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, if we were determined to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, we think about sacrifice. Sacrifice isn't always pleasant. It can be painful. It can be giving up things that are very important to us. He says that in our text here, that such a sacrifice is holy. Holy. That word means it's consecrated, it's sanctified, it's set apart. This is what we are to do as Christians. We are to be holy. We're to set aside ourselves for the purpose of serving God. He comes first. Peter writes over in 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. He said that we're living stones. We're built up a spiritual temple. We're a part of the body of Christ. We're a part of this building, a holy priesthood. You ever think of yourself as a Christian, as a priest? You are a priest. What do people, when they think of priest, what do they think of someone? Someone who is holy. Someone that you expect to be able to look at and say, here's a person of God. A person that you expect righteousness to come out of his mouth. A person who you expect his actions shows that God is first in his life. A person that is always ready to give an answer to those who ask of him concerning the hope that is within him. A person that is filled with tender mercy for those around him and always willing to help. This is what you think of when you think of a priest, isn't it? Christians are priests. A holy priesthood. And then he goes to said to say, this is your reasonable service. This is your reasonable service. That word reasonable is taken from a Greek word, logikon, and it means spiritual or sincere. So this is our spiritual service to God. It is equal to spiritual worship. And it's not something that we just do when we come together, but it's constantly, 24/7. Prayer, like Paul said, Brother Dan mentioned this, I believe it's Brother Dan, pray without ceasing. And this is what we do. In all things, give thanks. Whatever the situation in life is, you can still find something to be thankful for. You don't get up in the morning and say, well, I don't have anything to be thankful for today, the way this day is going. But Paul said, in all things, give thanks. Our whole life, our whole outlook on life will change if we learn to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Becoming a living sacrifice, I hope that I've impressed it upon your mind, and I think most all of you know this, that it means a living commitment to God. That word commitment is so important. There's so many things that can distract us. We've got to stay focused. We've got to feed upon this word. We've got to meditate upon it. We've got to put it into practice in our lives. Priority must always be given. You know, serving when it's only convenient or whenever you agree with it is not the kind of sacrifice that Paul is talking about here. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 33, Jesus declared, "Whosoever that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." As we look at our lives, is that the way we have been living our lives? Are we drawn upward by the Spirit? This body is just a slave. Or are we more drawn downward and have made our body a master? Something each of us should examine ourselves and maybe jerk ourselves back into line. This sermon this morning hasn't necessarily been for Christians or for people that are not Christians, but certainly you can learn some of this from this. If you're not Christians, what's expected of you if you desire to become one? But there's a reward. There's a reward that is laid up for us. It's reserved in heaven for us. We are faithful unto death. The Apostle Paul, when he was in prison, he stated, "I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day. Not to me only, but unto all those also who love his appearing." So if you're here this morning and subject to the call of the gospel, we can help you in any way. We'd be glad to do that. We invite you to come while together we stand and sing.